Tu Bishvat, Monday the 21st of January, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Rappaport, shaving with a razor for an operation.
I'd like to speak through a shaila which arose a couple of years ago. A chav of mine had a baby boy who unfortunately had severe hearing problems. And to correctify the hearing problems, he had to have cochlear implants. So his son was a couple of months old, and they do the implants one at a time, not concurrently. And when he came out from the first surgery, he noticed that his son's head, he was a little baby, but his son's head was shaved clean right on where they put the implant. In order to do the surgery, they shaved it clean with a razor. And included in the part that was shaved was the makom hapeah, where he went to grow peyas. So due to that shaila that he was going to have a second surgery, and he was worried that the second peyah would get shaved off, we went into the shaila. He was a little boy, he was 3 months old, and we'll see why that's a problem. So that was the shaila. Obviously, what's the issa? There's a pasuk lo sakifu pa'as reishchem. You can't shave off your peyas. So what happens at the fact that he's a kohen is potter in a mitzvah? So let's see Gemara. There's a Gemara in Nozir Daf and Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Omar Avuna hamakif es hakotan harei uchayev." If a person goes and shaves a cotton, so the person who is shaving the cotton gets malchus. Now, there's a haktoma that we have to make. Is that the Gemara? I think it is in Makkos, says that echod hamakif veechod hanikif chayev. If a Yisrael, a Godel Yisrael, goes and shaves a Godel Yisrael, the payas, with a razor blade, then they're both chayv malchus, they both get malchus. And Tosfos explains this due to the lashon of the pasuk. The pasuk could have worded itself differently instead of lo sakifu. And lo sakifu is inclusive both of the person who does the shaving and both of the person who gets shaved. So Rav Huna came along with the chiddush and he said that if a Godel goes and shaves a cotton, the Godel is also chayv, that even though, as everyone correctly stated, a cotton is potter and a mitzvah, nevertheless, the person who is doing the shaving also gets malchus. So Rav Huna said, "Amakif es hakotn areu chayv." Sorry?
He only gets malchus. He's the only one who gets
malchus. Yeah. We don't give malchus to a cotton. So Rav Huna said, "Amakif es hakotn areu chayv." So Rav Huna's Rablus, Rav Ado Bar Ava said to Rav Huna, "V'didoch man megalach lohoin." I've seen your children walking around with clean, shaven heads. Who shaves them? Omar Lei said to him, Choyva, my wife, Choyva, she did the dirty work. So Rav Ado Bar Ava said, Tikberinu l'choyva l'benai. She should bury her children. And Kulu shonad Rav Ado Bar Ava, Rav Ado Bar Ava's curse was Mekayim, Loikayim Lezer Elechot Rav Huna. Rav Huna's children taka died. That's the Gemara. So now, the Gemara explains that Rav Huna held that Amakif es hakotn is chayv. A man who shaves a cotton is chayv, malchus. A woman who does it is potter. Rav Ado Bar Ava personally himself held that even a godel who shaves a cotton is potter. So Rav Ado Bar Ava said to Rav Huna, he says, according to you, there's no way that your children can be shaved. According to me, I hold that whether a man, whether a woman, when you can shave their child's head. But if you hold that a man cannot shave a child's head, then a woman can also not shave a child's head. So we see from here that there's a severe machloikas in whether a woman or a man can shave a cotton's head. Now, the truth is that we have to be marked with him another small point about this shaila. In the case we're talking about, we're not referring obviously to pikuach nefesh. There's a child who is a person who cannot hear. It's not a case necessarily of pikuach nefesh. There is, however, a very interesting shach. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kufun and Zayin in Yeridea says, because the halacha about Yavoi Baal Yehorek, that kol ha-mitzvah sheba Torah, if a goy comes along and forces a yid to be over the mitzvahs, you mechuyev to be over. Chutz mi-gimel ha-veris chamuris. And the Ramah adds in, if however the person's life is not threatened, but rather the goy is being ma'anas the yid for all his money, he says, I'm going to force you to be over echveis yid chazah, unless you give me all your money, then you mechuyev to give all your money away in order not to be over alav. So you see, a sakonas ha-nefesh, you're over the lav. A sakonas mammon, when they're going to take away your money, you're not over the lav. And the shach raises the point, what happens if there's a sakonas eva? If the goy comes and threatens you that he's going to chop off your hand, unless you're over a lav. So what do you do then? So, the Shach refers to a halacha in Orechayim, the halachas of Refu on Shabbos. The halachas of Refu on Shabbos is very clearly again, Pikuach Nefesh with Deicha Shabbos. If a person is Cholek or Guf, you can start asking a Goy to do malachas for you. If there's a Sakonas Eva, you cannot be over any Lavin. So we see, Lachira says the Shach, that for Sakonas Eva, you can't be Deicha Shabbos. Even though Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos, a Sakonas Eva, a person is going to lose a limb, you cannot be Deicha Shabbos. Nevertheless, he quotes a Rivosh, where the Rivosh says that you can be Mekel. If a Goy is threatening that a Yid should lose a limb, he's going to chop off his hand unless he eats Chaza, you can be Mekel and you can eat the Chaza and you don't have to lose your limb. I would see in Shabbos that you have to be Makbid. You're not allowed to save a limb on Shabbos, even though you're going to lose a limb, you can't be over Shabbos. Shabbos is different. Chazal were more stringent there. But we cannot take transplant the Rivosh's kula to our case. In our case, we're not talking about saving a limb. The case as it is that the person cannot hear. We're trying to make him a new limb, to bring him new ears. If we were talking about a case where there was a car accident and a person's in danger of losing a limb, and unless we're over a certain lav, the limb will get lost, that's talking about saving a limb, that's the case of the Rivosh. But to bring a new limb, that's l'chayr, not the case of the Rivosh. So we can't use the Rivosh's kula in our case. Now, back to what we saw in the Gemara. From the Gemara, it would seem that even though for a man it's a machloikus, for a woman it should be permitted to shave a cotton's head. And incidentally, in the case we were talking about, the surgeon was a woman, the surgery was an Eretz Yisrael, the surgeon was a woman. She wasn't from, but she was a woman. And she, my friend asked her who does the shaving, and she said she shaved the child before the surgery. Now, according to Rav Huna said he let his wife shave the child's head. So, according to Rav Huna, it's mutter for a woman to shave a child's head. According to Rav Adar Bar Ava, he held that even a man is allowed to shave a child's head. So, we're sort of covered from all sides if we have a woman shaving a child's head. So it would seem. It would seem, but that's not the case. Because the Rambam is Machmir. The Rosh and the Rif Paskin, that a woman, Taka, is allowed to shave a child's head. But the Rambam is Machmir. He says a woman cannot shave a child's head. Now, where did he see it in the Gemara? Rav Huna let his wife do it. Rav Adar Bar Ava lets a man do it even. So where do we know that a woman cannot shave a child's head? So the Gemara added on that there was a klala of Rav Adar Bar Ava. Rav Adar Bar Ava cursed Rav Huna, a choiva, and he said she's going to bury children, and the klala was miskayim. So Rav Adar Bar Ava said, you see from here that because the klala was miskayim, that it's an issa for a woman to shave a child's head. Because if there's no issa involved on either side, what's the reason she should get cursed? So the Rambam paskin that it's also for a woman to shave a child's head. Now, we're looking for another solution for this case, because this child wants to have surgery. So, how about a goy? Maybe we can get a goy to shave the child's head. Now, the truth is that the reason why a gadol is mechuyev when you shave a child's head is a bit difficult. We know that a child is potter min hamitzvah. Generally, when you would say there's an issa for a person to get shaved with a razor, who's the issa on? Sorry?
The person who's doing it themselves.
The person who's doing it to themselves. What happens if I get someone else to do it for me? So I am also, if someone else shaves my head, I'm chayev. There's a chidush in the pasuk that because this is a sakifu, that even though you would say that the person who is getting shaved is the one who's chayev malchus, the chidush of the pasuk is even the one who does the action of the shaving. He is also chayev malchus. Now, when I shave a cotton, the cotton is obviously potter. Yes, he's potter mekol ha-mitzvahs. I am a gadol, I'm not shaving myself, I'm shaving him. So I should also be potter. If my love is noivea from him, if my love is sourced in his love, in his issa, I should also be potter. There's no reason I should be chayev. What did I do wrong? So the Rosh says that the reason why you're chayev is, or the Muki Yosef says rather, that the reason why you're chayev is because he's osi el chalal issa. The cotton is going to grow up and he's going to be part of this love of loisakifu. So because he will be part of the love, I'm already forbidden to shave his head. I'm having difficulty with intricacies of this svara, but on the surface level, that's what it seems to, that's what the Nemuki Yosef says.
By the time it grows up, you already have hair.
It's true. By the time, the next day, your hair will also grow.
You don't
but
have to worry what
will
be then.
No, Osir Lechalesa doesn't mean that he's going to be clean shaven when he grows up. Osir Lechalesa means that he's going to have this love when he grows up. Because he's... No, but you're right that now he doesn't have the love. And you're right that now there's no forbidden. I can shave someone, be'etzem, if a child goes and shaves himself a minute before Shkia on his bar mitzvah, and he comes into bar mitzvah clean shaven, he also hasn't evolved ben over any surim. Because the action is not being clean shaven, the action is the mice of being shaven. The action of being shaven is the problem. Now, even though you're right that the cotton is potter and he's got no problem doing the action of being clean shaven, but in a few years there will be a problem for me to shave him or to have his action being done. So that's the Osi Lichalisa. So that's part of the problem I'm having with the intricacies of how it works, the Osi Lichalisa. But we're going to avoid that subject for now. I want to finish by 9 o'clock, so. So what's with the goy? Now, as we said, so a goy, there's no Sforot of Chayiv because there's no Osi Lichalisa. So the Pesach Shuvah brings down a fascinating shaila. There was a Sefer Torah that was a Shem Hashem, and a drop of ink dropped on the Shem Hashem, on the Yud of the Shem Hashem, and it got totally rubbed out. Yud of the Shem Hashem. Now Sefer Torah was possible, and we need to correct it because it was a Shem Adnus. So the last Yud got rubbed out. Actually, I'm not sure it was a Shem Adnus. There was a Shem where the Yud got rubbed out. So there's no Yud. So it's not Shem Hashem anymore. So the sofer came to the Rav, asked him what to do, so the Rav said, it's fine. There's no Shem Hashem. You can rub out that blot of ink and rewrite the Yud. So the sofer came to rub out the blot of ink, and as he started rubbing or lifting up his coolness, the whole blot of ink came off and revealed the Yud underneath. So now, there's a halacha that you, when you write the Sefer Torah, it has to be written. V'chosav, it's a sefer. You have to write it. You learn from Get. V'chosav lo sefer Christus, yinei ksav. If you have a parchment full of ink and you start scraping around the sides and making letters, that's called chok tofes. You're scratching out the ink and you're making a letter, not from writing the letter, but from removing the outer parts. That's not for chosav and you cannot use that for a sefer Torah. So the shaila was that we had a shame over here which was written with chok tofes. So the sefer Torah was possible and they needed to correct the sefer Torah. Mitzad sheni, who's going to write about the shame Hashem?
But it's never missing.
Sorry?
It was never missing.
It was. When the ink blot covers it, it's called rubbed out. Ink on ink is called covered. It's not a kosher sefer Torah, and it's not yud anymore. The way you made the yud was removing something that was being disturbing. It was disturbing, so that's not called writing. So the Poisek wrote to the Beis Ephraim, he wrote a long, long tshuva to the Beis Ephraim about this. And the Beis Ephraim wrote back to him another long tshuva, and I got to the end of that. I didn't check if there was any more tshuvas. And the eitzah was seemingly that you should get a cotton to do it. But inside the tshuva, the Beis Ephraim was handling about how can you ask a cotton to do an issa. And then he said maybe you should get a goy to do it. Now the Beis Ephraim asks on this halacha in Shulchan Aruch that a goy can be makif for cotton, that a goy can shave a cotton. He says it doesn't stand the differences. For the cotton himself to go to get himself shaven, that's not nagia. We're not mafreshim from isurim. If a cotton oichel nevelis is a whole sugya and a pet, definitely when a cotton is stumbling over isurim, not eating, then we're not mafreshim. We leave him alone. So if the cotton is going to get him shaved, there's nothing to talk. Himself shaved to talk. There's nothing to talk about. Elamai. It's talking about the father that tells the goy shavaba to shave the cotton. It says the Beis Ephraim is teknisht. You can't do that. You can't tell a goy to be over issa. It's Beis Ephraim is also a bit shver because who's the issa here exactly? The cotton doesn't have an issa. The makif is a goy. So I'm telling the goy to do an issa which is never from the cotton's issa which doesn't exist. It's very difficult. If I'm going to shave a cotton, so I'm being nerve, I'm being yoynef, I'm drawing from his love, that he's got a love, he's going to have a love when he grows up of being shaved. So I'm drawing out from that love, kivyochol. So for me it's a love. So the goy who doesn't have any chid, he doesn't have any surim in this world, he doesn't have any surim of shaving, so he can go and shave the cotton. Because the cotton is non-existent, and the goy doesn't have that, I'm going to be also to shave him when he grows up, because the goy doesn't have any surim. So for me to tell a goy to do the cotton, it's also seemingly difficult why it should be also. But nevertheless, the Beis Ephraim is machmir, that you shouldn't tell a goy to be makir for cotton. But it's gepask in the Shulchan Aruch that it is mutter. So it seemingly would be fine for a goy to do it.
Well, what's always passing the mutter?
That in the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a goy is allowed to be makir for cotton, he can shave a cotton. But the Beis Ephraim seems to say that you can't tell a goy to go and shave a cotton.
Can a goy be makir for cotton?
Oh, no, because the Godel has got his own Issa of being Nikaf.
is a separate. Is a
the echot hamakif echot the nikif. There's both. They both have isurim. Whether I'm shaving or whether I'm being shaven. Uh-huh. And now it can be an independent issa of each other. But where I cotton, the only way I can get an issa is because it's also a halal issa. So we've sorted out that a gadol to be makif for cotton is a chiyuv, is a laugh. Yeah? For nisha to be makif for cotton, we paskin is a it's a machlokes between the Rosh and the Ramba. For a goy, the Shulchan Aruch is matirit, and the Beis Ephraim says it's difficult. So what other options do we have? Sorry. So the last option we can have is I don't know if everyone remembers this from the yeshiva days of the shaving creams.
Oh yeah.
So a shaving cream is permitted. Yeah, which we know that by Pasah Zokon it's mut and Pasah Rosh Zokon. The pasuk says the Lo Yisakifu Pasah Rosh Chem, and the Gemara darshins that if you do it with a kli, if you do hashchosa with a kli, if you destroy the hair, that's the problem of a ta'ar of a razor, is that it destroys the hair. If you destroy the hair with a kli, then it's a problem. If you just use a cream, you don't destroy it with a kli, that's fine. So the Noidi Bihuda, the Pischa Chuba brings quotes in Noidi Bihuda says that you can use a cream. You just have to be careful. It says after you put the cream on and all the hair's weakened, you shouldn't take anything sharp and scrape off the cream. Because that thing sharp will be scraping it off the hair. He said you should use a piece of ace or something, something blunt, and that will take off the hair, and that's not called a hashkosa. There's another option, perhaps. Misbarayim Kentar. Misbarayim Kentar is a scissor which gives you the result of a shaver. Papa As Hazokon, the halacha is, by a beard, that one can use a misbarayim kentar. You can use a scissor, even if it gives you the result of a razor. What's with the pasah rosh? So, of course, the pasah rosh, we become to machlokes. The Rambam says a misbarayim kentar by the rosh is permitted. So there's no difference between a beard and the pasah rosh. But the rosh is machmer. So if misbarayim kentar, it doesn't work. So let's ask a woman to take a misparayim kentar and to shave the cotton. Because the Rosh and the Rif Paskin, that a woman can be makif for cotton. So it's fine. The Rambam says it's also for a woman to be makif for cotton. But he holds misparayim kentar as mutter. So you've covered your bases. It's all very nice and good, but there's other Rishonim who hold both shitters, so we're stuck a bit there. So in our case, we are left with the options would seemingly be the best option would be to use a sun, to use a powder or a cream. After that, you can ask a goy to make of the cotton. And if not a goy, maybe an isha of a misparayim kentar, you can get around it. And then you're coming into serious problems with a gadol, and we don't know whether you can, it's seemingly a problematic, whether you can ask a gadol to shave a child's head. It's an issa, it's a lav, even though it's for a certain health benefit. Now, the shayla would also be nogeya for a gadol, if a gadol has to have any surgery which involves shaving hair. By gadol, you don't have the eitz of an isha, but again, you have the eitz of a son. The issue with shaving for an operation, I always thought, was a health issue. They were worried about infections. After I spoke to a certain surgeon, the surgeon told me there's nothing to lo mi neve lo mi tzase. It's just simply easier to do an operation when there's no hair around. It could make the shayla more difficult, because it's not entirely integral for the surgery. Sorry? No, but the hair is just to keep things out. It's not a health benefit. It's just the doctor finds it easier. So if the doctor's refusing to do
operation without the hair,
I'm sorry.
You can do a better uninterrupted operation without the hair.
So that's the question. How much better is it? Is it just make my life easier, or is it touch and go that the operation cannot be successful? You have to know, someone told me his father had the operation in France, and they never shaved his head.
Okay, you can't take a proof.
Stuck a true.
Oh. You see, always there's so much with the cleaning,
yeah, so,
the
so that's what I asked.
All kind of things. Yeah. Use special liquid to make sure that everything is...
Right, so but the shaving is not a health benefit. That's what he said. He said, he says that when the surgeon that I spoke to, he said if he does it in his private clinic, he doesn't even have a razor blade. He never uses a razor blade. He trims the hair and that's it. Obviously, you can disinfect the hair. You put alcohol in the hair.
Is it also related to some man?
And go in the hospital, shaves a lady off. There's no issa for a lady to be shaven whatsoever. No issa whatsoever.
So it's only for men?
Yeah, it's only for men.
According to that, maybe the doctor would be happy just to do it with the scissors.
Yeah, you could have to ask the doctor. Close. Actually, in this case, with a friend of mine, his child, I convinced the friend of mine to approach the surgeon for the second surgery. And he mentioned something about that. He noticed that she shaved up to the head, and she said, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was a problem for adults. She wasn't from this lady. But she said she wasn't aware that it was a problem for children. She thought it was only a problem for adults. So she asked where she could shave till, and she drew a line. And she was very careful not to go past that line. And actually, the second surgery was more successful than the first one. There's another point that one can raise in this situation, is that probably most of these people in the room were once crossing a road, and they weren't paying attention, and a car almost knocked them over, and the car hooted, and they heard it at the last minute, and they saved their lives. So let's say it's pikuach nefesh. The child, at one point in a person's life, he probably will be saved by his hearing. There's a fair chance. So why don't we say it's pikuach nefesh?
But the machlokes not now. The situation isn't now.
So by pikuach nefesh, it doesn't necessarily have to depend whether it's now or not. If it's a definite pikuach nefesh,
it's not definite.
It's 98%. It's 70%, it's 60%, it's 80%, it's very difficult to know.
Such high percentage doesn't count.
Right, so the problem with pikuach nefesh is the point you're raising is actually 100% correct. Pikuach nefesh is a very difficult thing to understand, to be magdir exactly when pikuach nefesh applies. Does it work with percentages? Does it work with a person's fear? When there's epidemics, certain epidemics where there's a very low percentage of death, Rahman Islam, but there's a panic in the world about the epidemic, it could be that also warrants pikuach nefesh. It's very, very difficult. The punkt, I was learning a sugya just now of killing dangerous animals. The Rambam holds that melacha she'en tzricha l'gufo on Shabbos is chayiv. If you do a melacha on Shabbos and not for the regular purpose of doing a melacha, you're chayiv. A person goes into his regular, a person digs in his field on Shabbos, he's chayiv because he's being chayish his field. He's digging his field, he's getting it ready for planting. Now, if a person doesn't need, a person goes and digs in his field because he needs to collect some earth, so he's being chayrish his field not for the purpose of being chayrish. He's ploughing his field because he needs the earth to cover something. So he goes and ploughs his field on Shabbos, takes all the earth, and goes takes it to his house. The field, Rambam is a chayv chatos, even though he hasn't tried to do a charisha, but he's taken the earth. It's called a melacha she'en tzricha l'gufo, even though you don't need it. Now, if a dangerous animal is chasing you on Shabbos, you're allowed to kill it. Pikuach nefesh. And it seems from the Rambam, there's a sugi in Shabbos about what type of animals you can kill and what type of animals you can't kill. And it seems from the Rambam that there's certain mazikin, certain damaging, certain animals which are dangerous, that there's an issa midrabbanan to kill them. Now, it's very difficult to understand. If that means it's min haTorah, it's mutter to kill them. Why is it mutter to kill the animal which is dangerous? If it's lefi the Rambam, obviously it's because it's dangerous, because if you stun kill an animal because you want to chase it away lefi the Rambam, it's a chiyuv chatos. So if min haTorah it's mutter to kill an animal, it must mean because there's pikuach nefesh. So what does it mean that there's an issa derabbanan to kill the animal? It's pikuach nefesh. Why did Chazal answer it? It would seem from the Rambam that there is certain types of pikuach nefesh where they're borderline. It still falls within the ghetto of pikuach nefesh. But Chazal, Baruch Chochmosan, they saw that nevertheless it still warrants to be stringent. In this case of the hearing, perhaps as you're saying that it's not necessarily sure, that it's not 100%, maybe there's other ways of avoiding pikuach nefesh. It's very hard to start in using the clause of pikuach nefesh to permit the surgery. Shkoyach.
Is there any difference between